Okay, I'm gonna open the meeting of the Harbor, Crescent City Harbor District, and have a roll call, please.
Commissioner Niemer, Commissioner Schmidt.
Present.
Secretary Weber,
Here.
Vice Chairman Evans,
Absent.
and Chairman Shepherd.
Present. Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, liberty and justice for all. Next part of the meeting is a general comment period provided for subject not included on the agenda, subject matter, jurisdiction of the district. Each person is limited to 3 minutes speaking time. To maintain meeting decorum, board members and staff should refrain from responding to statements or questions during this time, but may be available to follow up with members of the public after the meeting. And these are the decorum of our meetings that we'd like people to adhere to, so we read them. So is there any public comment?
Go ahead. Have to say at the end of the last meeting that while I had some hope due to the fact that Harbor has an exceptional staff that very likely will lead us through the issues that we're having currently, when the announcement for appointments for the ad hoc committee for budget and
Audit.
audit was of extreme disappointment for me, because I've sat here in this meeting room for basically the best part of a year, and one of the people that you had selected was entirely inadequate and incompetent towards dealing with financial matters. And I was coming to this meeting with the intention of requesting that that person be removed from that ad hoc committee, because it adds one layer of bureaucracy that currently the harbor cannot afford. The harbor is going into a period where you're going to have nearly $20 million expended in construction projects, and you cannot have a person who does not trust the staff to carry out their official duties on a committee that reports to the full board with regards to audit and budget. I would like to, in this particular case, be assured that that person has been replaced with someone that's more competent to deal with that situation. The person I wish to have replaced is Annie Niemer. She clearly has shown an inability to function in a financial capacity with regards to basic financial conditions. She is constantly having to be educated with regards to that type of situation. And if she cannot trust the staff to adequately service this board, then she has no business on that ad hoc committee. I have recently been informed that that is the case, that Ms. Niemer has been replaced on that ad hoc committee, and that affords me some confidence in this board to do the right thing. And I wanted to make that public because the appointment was public at the last meeting. If that replacement has indeed occurred, it should be made public in this particular meeting. Thank you very much.
I was going to ask Mike about that, if we needed to put that, and we should publicly announce it. I did remove her from the ad hoc committee, and I added John Evans on there. So I don't know if we have it on, have to have it on the agenda or whatever, but we can do it on the next meeting. But that's in a public setting. That's been done. She's been removed, and John Evans is on the ad hoc and audit committees. So budget ad hoc. Is there any other public comment?
Tom Sanders, I got a niche and complaint. Over there where you park your trucks and trailers for boat launch, people park up against that fence, and there's even parking slots there. But they park against that fence, and you can't get out, especially if there's somebody parked on the other side putting their boat back together. You can't get in or out of there. So maybe we could put some.
A boat launch and the fence to the Coast Guard? Or no, what?
No, at the ramp.
At the
The
boat
walk
launch
on the
ramp.
ramp.
Yeah. But on this side of the outhouse.
Okay, so you mean the walkway, and so they're, oh, and they're just people with cars and no trailers.
Right.
I got you, and that is tough. I use that quite often, and it is difficult to get the boat around when there's a car parked in there. So maybe we're going to have to eliminate those parking spots at least a good portion of the way of the for the trailers.
Maybe we could restripe it or put some signage.
Yeah, that's not a
Easy.
bad. I've had trouble. I get out, but it's tight. And if it was a bigger trailer, it'd even be more difficult. So I've seen that. So that's a very good comment. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you
Thank
very
you.
much. Yeah. Hey, Chuck.
Well, I would like to thank all of you. You know, I've been driving down here 6 weeks, 65 years legally here. And the kind things, you know, it took a little while for all of us to get where we were going here. And to say the kind things in the paper about me and my family, I'm just wanting to thank you for all of that, you know. Like I said, I really didn't know how to address all of this, but the different people I know being here all my life said I could speak for them, and I told you that, you know. But I got drafted when I was 21 here, and now it seems like that was probably some of the reason, you know.
Yeah.
So thank you very much.
Well,
I'd like to give this to you that I wrote for the answer.
thank you.
The nice things. Thank you.
We appreciate it, Chuck. But I would like a clarification in the paper of the triplicate was is that there was no flag up there for years or 2 years might have been stated, and that the commission was so lame that they couldn't even get a flag up on their flagpole. That is not true. It really upset our maintenance because their maintenance puts that flag up, and there's never not been a flag on that flagpole ever. It was a small flag because the other ones got ripped. I mean, there's a lot of things that went on, but there was never a day in this my term that there's not been a flag on that flagpole.
Now, they've been talking about that flagpole. We're talking about the Mariners flagpole right over there with all them people's names that I even went to high school that passed away on the boats here. That's the flagpole we're talking about. Not the veterans flagpole that was donated in 2004, 4th July. We're talking about the Mariners flag. Come on. Thank you, sir. Jesus Christ.
Shoot, Chris.
Any other public comment?
And good afternoon, Board, Mr. Shepherd. I'd like to talk about the RV parks that no one's talking. I don't know if everybody realizes it's April.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing this is year two that you have been trying to make a decision. The public does not know what's going on. I'm hearing the goalposts are getting moved around, and again, the addition of the separate piece of land. Why don't we know about this so we can give an opinion and hopefully generate some income that will help the harbor in developing its hopefully bright future? Nothing. I hear crickets from you guys. Well, next week, waiting for it to be on an agenda item, waiting for some approval of something. Nobody's talking. Going to close session, nobody's talking afterward. Well, we're working on this, we're working on that. I won't take any more time. This is year two. This is April 1st. Before you blink a few times, the summer will be over. And then what? Two eyesore RV parks sitting out there doesn't look very good at all. I think you need to make a deal with somebody and get it done ASAP. Now, that's my opinion. I don't know what the holdup is. Maybe you can explain it. If it needs an agenda item to go into detail so the public is aware of it, great. If it doesn't, let us know what's going on. Thank you.
I think I can safely say that it's the commission and the Crescent City Harbor does not hold up. Every time we try to get a lease ironed out, then it seems to appears that they want more information, and there's been a lot of back and forth, and we just really haven't come to an agreement that is agreeable to us, what they want is not what we need.
Not again. What's the gap? Here's one side. They say they're ready to go. Here's the harbor. No, it's not ready. Are goalposts getting moved, or is new information being added? Why is it taking so long?
A tremendous amount of new information is being added, and
Help me.
they, I don't know, maybe we should, you can do it, maybe a staff report or something.
Will it be on the agenda item for next meeting?
No, it could be
Yes,
included,
I
but it
think
could.
we should definitely have it on the agenda for next
I
meeting.
mean, gentlemen, do you think there's a problem when 18 months later we still don't have any action on the
I'm
our
very upset by it. I'm extremely upset
yeah, we
by it.
agree.
I don't even tell you how upset, and I've been talking with Mike and everything, that we have not come up to a solution. And I could have never believed that it would be April 1st, and we have not had a resolution to this problem, but we don't, that's all I can say. And but we definitely need to put out a staff report, and it'll definitely be on the agenda for next meeting, because I believe if we don't make a decision, and we will be ready by next meeting to make a decision. And so we will have it on the agenda, be on a staff report too.
Yeah, I mean, we could write a book on the history.
Yes.
It's
Well, I'd rather you write
yeah.
some new cleanup efforts to take those two eyesores off the docket and get it done. You know, I'm an
Yeah.
impatient
Yeah.
consumer, that's all.
And we came off of an Alex Lemus that was really a bad operation, so the background checks is way more extensive. We've got a financial advisor and an attorney, new attorney that we just hired, that are giving us points that we need to know, and what we need in order to survive is basically what it is. And if they can't come up with that amount, then it's not going to do us any good to rent them out anyways. So,
Well,
I mean.
the public awaits.
But I'm done with it, and I'm ready to move on. And so, let's just, Mike, we'll just do it. You know, we'll present it to them that is our bottom line, is that by next meeting, April 8th, that we are going to make a decision whether you're on board or not. Is that okay to say, or out of line? I mean, I would hate for us to be held up, you know, by some minor technicality, and then have to, you know, walk away, because I mean, we are making steady progress, and you know, last night we were here for hours, you know, and we had a presentation from some financial advisors that we hired, and you know, the bottom line is that we have to achieve a deal where all parties are better off, and sometimes that's just, it's difficult, because I mean, say we're talking about a 15-year initial term potentially with 3 5-year extensions. We want the developer to be successful, and the harbor has its own constraints, financial constraints.
Can you say if we're closer? You're making progress?
Yeah, I mean, we're always eliminating points of disagreement. I mean, we are definitely
All we can ask for.
always making progress. Yeah, and in the case of one of the developers, there have been several rounds going back and forth between the attorneys, you know, redlining, making adjustments, coming to agreement, coming to resolution, coming to creative solutions to overcome some of the obstacles. But I think we are, like the chairman said, we're haunted by the past, you know, where we were burned. That the, you know, you could, the harbor entered into an agreement that was difficult to get out of. The tenant did not perform under the lease, defaulted, and that, you know, cost us a lot of time.
Cost us years.
Yeah.
So we don't want that to happen again. And in my life in this harbor, we've been haunted by long-term lease. The, you know, where
we're at the end of those long-term leases, and that's not the place to be. So, we're ensuring that the future of the harbor is better than what was done 25 and 40 years ago with some of the leases that we have had trouble with. And so this is all real difficult for us. We're not up on that level of business. So we're relying on attorneys and the consultants, and that is slow moving. And I'm so frustrated. I can't stand it. And I just want to I want to get it over with. And so
Maybe without talking about anything specific that we have discussed in concession office, can't talk about it. But one thing is known, that we have been asking for red line contracts. This means you give us your best deal, and we'll see whether we can go with it. And those have been switched. So we are at the last stages within our negotiations. And
all of this we're hearing now, for me, is the first time. For me, I'm John Q. Public. Now, what I know is you have two suitors. Maybe there's more, maybe there's less. I don't know. And you're discussing who to select and what terms. That's all I know. And that's been going on for quite some time.
And there's a third. Sandy's put some numbers together from the RV parks this past year with what we've done, and we've just kind of received them. And I don't, that's another question I had, is why we didn't have those numbers together earlier. But I mean, anyway, so that option is really starting to appear to be on the table more than it has been. And we didn't really look at it. Why those numbers didn't come was because we were just going to go with these people here. But now that I see the numbers that we came up with yesterday, that changed the whole concept as far as what might happen. I mean,
Okay, appreciate the staff
I,
report
yeah, and
ASAP.
I'm really glad we got to talk about this. And I was wondering about having it on the agenda, but we will definitely have it on next meeting's
Thank you,
agenda.
sir.
And
Appreciate
I'm
it.
really hoping we have a better idea of what we're going to do. One, two, or three. Which way we're going to go is what we need to do. So thank you for asking that. I really
But not to
appreciate
wait till August for an answer.
it. No, yeah, I'm okay. Thank
Okay,
you, Roger.
I made
Go
my point.
ahead.
Hi, can you clarify who you are talking about with they? Is it the developer? Is it the holdup?
We have two developers. It's Daniel Dahan with BSD, and Sean and Scott McGraw, which is CC Crescent City Holdings. Those are the two developers that we're talking about. And then the third one I just was talking about, that is for us to take over the parks ourselves, is the third option
And
here.
how does CSS get involved with this?
CSS. Okay, so we have working on this deal. I mean, we have a lot of people devoted to getting this over the finish line. Myself, we have our financial consultant, Sam Marino, Mike Barr, he's the CSS. He's part of the negotiating team. We have two attorneys. We have Calumny advisors. So all of these people are working to try to move this forward and get a meeting of the minds. But you're talking about a contract that's 30 pages in length that we're working off of. And it's extremely, 25 initial or 15-year initial term with 3 5-year extensions. That's 4 years, right? So, I mean, that's,
I'm sure there's a lot of moving parts to all of this, and there's a
yeah.
lot of information you guys are getting thrown at you. But I just feel like you maybe need to be aware that CSS has been a nonprofit organization since 2023, I believe, and they have never completed a project yet so far. They have not one completed project that they can present to the board I'm on that is completed. We got nothing. Straight
What
up, it
board are
was
you
a
on?
city planning commission. So. And he was in attendance at Mike Barr
Yes, Mike
was in
Barr.
attendance at the last meeting and was asked, do you have a completed project that you could show us as an example? Because it's got to do with some development going on. No, we have not completed a project yet to date. I think that's very alarming, and that needs to be considered something that is addressed. Maybe the problem is that Who knows?
He has no decision-making ability. He can't just add his.
Well, are they helping secure grant funding?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. So we have an in-house grant writer for the city that's been very successful at lots of grants that we've gotten. And I think it's wasteful spending to pay somebody that's a developer like that to be a grant writer. You probably should consider maybe getting somebody in-house if this is the direction you guys want to head with helping the harbor be developed.
Just to clarify, Mike Parr is not a developer.
He's a grant writer, right?
Yeah. That's what he's been hired for. Yeah? And he's been very successful. And he's been instrumental in over $15 million.
How has there never been a project completed, though?
Well, I mean, you're talking about, like you said, he formed a new company. He's been doing grant writing for decades. And this company that he formed,
I know, but 3 years has gone by and they still have no completed projects. I just think this is maybe look at it with a discerning eye. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Hi, it's Alicia Williams. I have three copies and it turns out there's three commissioners. So so those are sources that I was able to pull together at the last minute. I'm actually behind on really important deadlines, but because you guys are doing shenanigans with creating ad hoc committees when it's clearly doesn't meet the definition for an ad hoc committee, okay, I have to do this because this is really not okay. So you'll see in order, the first one is an August 12, 2025 article that is about CSS, Mike Barr's company, which altered some provisions in the RFP at that time for the RV parks. And those provisions that they were suggesting was to be able to start negotiating without allowing the full 21-day submission window to close first, and not to require a performance bond, and to have the harbor select a proposal and enter into negotiations at any time without further public notice. And there were objections at that time. But what I want to bring about too is why even propose those? You know, that makes no sense. And then you have the next one is October 5th of 2025, the harbor response grand jury report findings. So in the grand jury report, it was the one put out for 24-25, but it was audited from 2021 through 2024. There were 19 findings in that report. All of them were transparency violations. 14 of them were financial and 4 of them were Brown Act violations. Gerhard signed that commitment at the end, signed the letter at the end, and committed to ensure continuous improvement, responsible stewardship of public resources, and clear open communication with the public. Ad hocs for financial audit and budget matters are not honoring this commitment. The next one is February 12, 2026 article, and that one is relating to CSS. Mike Barr asked the board to schedule a special meeting in March, which is the following month, specifically for Moffitt and Nickel, the coastal engineer firm, to go over the permit application process and review the details of the project overall that has to do with the infrastructure on the seawall and the pier. When the meeting did happen on March 10th, no one from Moffitt and Nickel was present. My follow-up for unanswered questions that I was directed to follow up with Mike Barr about, and I emailed him some stuff, to find out why that design firm wasn't present as promised, were met with hostility by Mike Barr, who told me to request records from the harbor because he didn't have to answer my questions, and then he hung up. I just want to point out that Mike Barr is perfectly aware that the harbor still does not provide records and is continually violating CEPRA law for the records. I'm almost done. Additionally, the public heard that Mike Barr and Rademacher decided not to proceed with the bathroom install because they thought it was best to wait until the RV developers have been approved. Isn't that a board decision? Okay. And a public should weigh in on that? Now, I have other violations. I mean, one sec. I have another concern about transparency violations of CSS.
Okay, well, maybe to bring it to the next one.
Give me one moment, okay? I'm talking about two.
I know, but be respectful. Be respectful for everybody in here.
They
be really respectful.
Just one moment. They have transparency violations on their website regarding what 501c3s are
Okay.
supposed to, and this is
All
in
right.
this, and you have the records
I'm
right here,
asking
and I
to
want
be
you to read it.
respectful for everybody in this room.
And I want you guys to address the conflict of interest.
Okay. Thank you very much. Any other public comment? Oh, Mike Bardos. Oh, here you go, Mike.
Hey, hello. Well, for some reason there seems to be a campaign against us here today. So let's start with a couple of facts. Community System Solutions is a nonprofit. We are not a government agency. We are a nonprofit that has a contract with the Crescent City Harbor District. So far for the Crescent City Harbor District, we have written grants that have been awarded $22 million. That is, if for somebody to say we haven't done anything, that's just ridiculous. For our clients, since our formation, we have written grants that have been awarded $41 million. We are in multiple states running multiple projects. The Planning Commission asked us specifically about a multifamily housing project that we have completed. No, we have not completed a multifamily housing project. That is what we were asked for, not any other project. So whoever's saying, oh, they haven't completed anything, actually does not know what they are talking about. Second speaker made a lot of allegations that just are not true. I'm not a decision maker for the harbor. I make recommendations, a bunch of recommendations that I somehow made. Those are not things I'm accused of making recommendations. Those were not things that we recommended in the contracts. We can't control other people's schedules. If another consultant does not show up to a meeting, then they don't show up. That's just some things that happen, but we don't control harbor schedule. We don't set agenda items. We request agenda items. We are not a decision-making thing. So it's just sad that if people want to make legitimate complaints about real things, but literally just have to sit there, literally make stuff up, because that's what's occurring. People are just making stuff up because they're unhappy about something, which I don't even know what they're unhappy about. So that's really all I have to say. Thank you for the time.
Thank you, Mike. Well, and I think we just got started the drawdown on our first grant. So we've only had it for a couple of weeks. So it's pretty hard to complete a project in a couple of weeks. Okay. Any other public comment today? Okay, seeing none, hearing none, nobody on the screen. We're going to move on to the consent calendar. It's consider routine and will be approved by one motion. The Public Staff Commission may request specific items to be removed from the consent calendar for separate consideration. And so with that, I'll hear some public comment on it. Is there any public comment on the consent calendar? None. I've looked over the minutes.
I just noticed that on there, it's talking about the March 11th regular meeting. So that meeting followed that special meeting. So there were follow-up questions that weren't able to be answered because Moffitt and Nicol was not present. It was reported in the sources I provided. This is not made up. These are sources of other people that reported these in articles, Redwood Voice, the grand jury report. There's the transparency violations have to do with CSS's website itself. Okay, these aren't made up. All you have to do is look at the list of sources I provided. This is not made up, okay? There is a lot of transparency problems. And when you're told to follow up about something and you follow up and you're hung up on, okay, that's not professional. And you wouldn't do that unless there was some sort of a problem that you don't want people asking questions. Again,
is this regarding the consent calendar now?
Well, this is talking about approving minutes of the March 11th. And that's another thing. The minutes, you guys did a bunch of back and forth to keep information off of the minutes to make it. Remember, you guys did a bunch of back and forth about whether to put narrative on the minute. And you guys did that purposely so that people could not read, people that hadn't attended the meeting cannot read back and kind of see what had occurred and what the public has said and disagreed with. So the point that I'm making, just to make it crystal clear, the The ongoing transparency issues at this harbor need to stop. You guys know you've been told multiple times by multiple authorities that the Brown Act must be upheld no matter what. Any ad hoc committee that you guys are putting in place that does not fit the very small criteria of an ad hoc needs to be corrected. So please do that.
Any other public comment on the consent calendar? Approval of the March 11th regular meeting and approval of Mitchell Law Firm invoices.
Make a motion to approve the minutes of March 11th regular meeting and approve Mike Mitchell Law Firm invoices 10-174 and 10-454. With a second.
I'll second it. Any comments, Dan?
Yeah, briefly. I think the law firm should break out in more detail what it is they're looking at. Just to say they spent a couple, four and a half hours on something, not knowing what that was. I think we should really have an idea.
I'll make note of that, Dan.
Well, it is.
Detail, more detail.
People have access to it and look at that. But right now, it was covered up during the copy.
All right, so it should have gone to us, but a copy here.
This is the redacted public version. So because it's privileged information, which topics we're getting advice on. But you as a commissioner have a right to get the unredacted version from Sandy. So
All right, well, there it is. Keep me covered. Thank you.
okay. Vote, please.
Commissioner Beamer? Not present.
Into absent.
Commissioner Schmidt?
Yes.
Secretary Weber?
Aye.
Vice Chair Evans?
Absent.
Chairman Shepherd?
Aye. Okay, discuss and approve request by Community Systems Solution to hold a fundraising music and beer festival on Whaler Island on July 4th. I was really happy to hear about this, Mike. I guess you're going to have something to say about it. I'm glad we have something going on the 4th of July in the harbor. That'll be great, I think.
Yeah, and talking with Mike Rademacher, commissioners point out there was not an event occurring. We're hoping that obviously each of the restaurants will be having events. But that in between time between the festivals in the park and the parade and then the fireworks seemed to be in a downtime as we were looking at folks' calendar and thought, why not get more folks out to the harbor that day? Make revenue for the harbor, make revenue for the restaurants out there, and then do a fundraiser for our organization. So we're requesting the parking lot on Whaler Island for the event from 2 p.m. to 6 p.m. would be the event time. We would have everything broken down in time for the harbor to basically charge for parking out there. For folks to watch the fireworks, we wouldn't interfere with that. And as you can see in the map, we also would be far enough back to not interfere with folks parking the overflow trailers from the boat ramp and not touch into that parking lot. We could condense down the space if needed also. This is just the simplest way to put the fencing up to keep people from climbing on the rocks at the island and then from driving kind of into what we hope is a good sized crowd, live music and DJs, and then beer sales, including local beers at the event. So we know I was talking with folks that their facilities will be full, so it's also a way for local vendors to be able to sell more of their product on that day. So they would also be earning sales from these products. Open to any questions, but you've got the full memo in your agenda packet.
Yeah, the only thing I saw, Mike, is we'll have to do some brainstorming on the parking, because for the boat launch, there's a good chance there will be a salmon season going on at that time. And of course, there's the other fishing. And if the weather's good, there could be a tremendous amount of boat trailers. And and cars parked there, and so the people getting to the event, maybe we'll do some work on it, Mike, as far as a shuttle or something. Let's just see what we can do. But that's the only thing I could see is that on the 4th of July, and if it, well, there'll be fishing of some sort going on, and that boat ramp gets real crowded with the boat trailers and everything, and then it's people parking to come to the event, it could be congestion. Well, I think that's the only thing I can see we might have to work out. But is that that's it? So is there any public comment on the 4th of July festival at Whalers Island?
It's Alicia again. So I thought we were going to hold a fundraiser for the harbor, but he's saying we're holding a fundraiser for CSS. So how is that going to benefit the harbor that's in such financial distress and not able to meet your guys' obligations? I mean, I just don't understand. Yeah, I'm really confused because I thought we were. I know I've been advocating for a fundraise for fun, multiple different fundraisers over the years now, which you've done none, so that you guys could get out of some of the hole. So yeah, that's my concern. Otherwise, yeah, I just really don't get it.
Right up my alley because I just got done writing a big old giant thing about all this. You noticed I sent it to you. Average cost per person would be roughly about $3 to $4 a meal, 3 times a day. So you got to think you're going to have people in the morning, you're going to have people in the afternoon, and people at night. But how I would suggest it is to break it down a little. You're going to have mass cars, kind of break it down a little. Can we have you park over here instead of here? So we're going to need somebody to say, hey, do you mind walking a couple more minutes because of the traffic over here? So that's going to be on our security, which is a whole lot, because he's going to be busy monitoring everything. And when it comes to traffic, you know what it is. We use cones. And then put a sign up on the cone that says turn left, turn right, parking, and stuff. And then to mark it off like we did up here, market what kind of vendors we're going to have, and are they going to have insurance? Because they require you to not only provide your business license number, they also at market they also require to have insurance, some kind of policy going on, because of inegalities, accidental accidents. We've had people just, it's incredible when these things take place. And then after that, we're gonna need garbage. And we did that last year. So there's a lot of things that we have to put in place before we could even look at a logical cost. It can run a harbor $1,000 that day to produce what? We're gonna get what, $1,500 maybe out of it? It may not be worth the event. Sometimes it costs more than what you're gonna make. So let's get together. Like I said, I know a lot about this because I've set up, ultimate shows, concerts. I mean, geez, years of it. So I know a lot. So let's get together. Okay.
We'll look for your input, forward for your input.
Yeah.
So, Mike, did you have something to say? I see you, Cindy. We're going to get to you, Cindy, here pretty soon. Mike, did you have a comment?
I just want to add that we would be carrying event insurance, and we would have the harbor on the rider for that. We do have event insurance as we've hosted other events. And yes, the harbor does get both a fee and a revenue share from events at the harbor. So the harbor does
Yep.
make money.
Okay, thank you, Mike. Cindy, I see your hands up. Welcome.
Hi there, everybody. So this is Cindy Vosburg with the Crescent City Dale Nort Chamber of Commerce. And first, I'd like to start off with that I am a huge fan of Mike Barr, and I look forward to many events and opportunities that we have to work together. I spotted this on the agenda. I would be there in person, but I spotted it just as I joined the meeting and read the agenda. I'm sorry for that. So what I'd like to say is that The Crescent City Dale Nort Chamber of Commerce coordinates the 4th of July events in Crescent City. We spend $40,000 for the professional fireworks. We spend another $1,500 for security over those fireworks, and then $6,100 for the porta potties. And as much as I love to see new events in Crescent City, I feel that this will be competing with our festivities in the park. We pay for three bands and the stage to come in, and all of the garbage and everything else that goes with the festivities in the park. And our event goes till 6 o'clock. So although Mike Barr's event would start in the afternoon, it will compete with what we do. We support about 15 of the nonprofits that use this as fundraisers with booths and whatnot. And what I'd like to ask is, could perhaps Mike consider different hours, or even on Sunday when nothing is going on? 4th of July is Saturday this year. But I really hate, we raise every penny to fund the festivities in the park, the bands, the fireworks. We've never asked the harbor to help us pay for those fireworks. We're asking the city this year for $5,000 and the county for $5,000 to help offset the increases that tariffs have caused. And it's the local businesses, it's your chart room, your fishermen's, your, you know, Anchor Beach, all of those businesses that donate to fund those fireworks. And this will hurt us. And we have so many people to pull in from, and could affect the festivities in the park. Mike, I love you and the work that you guys do and what you do for the harbor, and support you in every way. But perhaps we could collaborate on this and find hours that work better for both our events, so we can both be successful without hurting one or the other. Any questions?
Something I didn't think of, Cindy. Yeah, boy, you brought a light to my mind, and I could see where it could be very competitive with what you're doing in the, and you've been doing it for many, many years in Front Street. So, Mike, do you have a comment?
Yeah, I'm going to request that we hold off on taking action on this agenda item. Let me meet with Cindy, talk with Cindy, strategize some things, and we'll come back.
I love that. Thank you so much, Mike.
No problem.
Yeah, I was going to say that we should table it until we can. That's a very good point, Sandy. Thank you very much for that comment.
Just know this, that I'm happy to help in any way I can to help promote what Mike puts on and make both events successful.
That's what we're looking for. So thank you very much. And we'll table
Can I just make one point? I know there's some confusion about the porta potties. Who provides what? Whether the county is going to provide porta potties, the harbor is going to provide porta potties. Now I hear the Chamber of Commerce is involved. Those are the events. Are you going to? Is the harbor considering putting porta potties on South Beach for the public, which is going to be a large crowd? Is that been in discussion?
We did it
if
last
not,
year.
If whatever was done, there was a confusion.
And I heard they got full, and we got a. Work on that better, maybe more or having them dump
rather than ready to cross the highway to use.
Yeah, no, I know we do supply them, and there was some problems last year that we've already talked about. We're going to try to rectify those problems.
Yeah,
thank you very much. Okay, and with that, we're going to table it, and then
we're actually continue it. There, distinction between the two.
Okay.
If we continue it, it's easier.
We're going to table it till next meeting or continue.
Yeah, continue.
Continue till next meeting. Yeah. Continue the discussion till next meeting. Okay, and then this is the consider the formation of new ad hoc committees. Mike, you want to know the one I know is for the RV park? Wanted to point that out.
Actually, this was at the request of Commissioner Schmidt, and so I know he has some proposals. I don't know. I'll let you go first, Commissioner Schmidt, because you might have some overlap.
Yes, I was concerned about last meeting's vote to abolish all standing committees, reportedly on the advice of council. Okay, I can go along with that. But I'm concerned, why are we getting rid of all the committees until we know what those committees are and what they do? And obviously, we're going to be creating some new committees. So we can really look at what we already have, what they do, who's on those committees. We had some controversy about members of committees. Find out what we have and had before we start what we're going to, new stuff. That was my concern. But I voted against the elimination of the existing committees until we know what the pre-existing committees are. And then maybe have a discussion on what kind of committees we should have. Not just right now, what we're doing, Rick, is an issue comes up, and you'll send your powers. We'll say, okay, I'm forming a committee to do this, or I'm getting rid of that person off the committee to do that. In a non, or I'd rather say, let's look at all the committees. Which one of those committees are we going to keep, and which, and who are we going to appoint to those committees?
I agree, and that's a good point, but my understanding is like an ad hoc committee is only for a certain length of time. So they expire, and once they expire, that committee is no longer a committee. The standing committees can go on for a year, 2 years, whatever it takes for that committee to complete its task.
I don't know
So
if that
I
short
think what
term.
we did, we were going to buy the like advice from our legal counsel was to eliminate all those standing committees because those were not the standing committees we'd formed before were not valid. They weren't on anything that we were working on at this time. Gerhardt, what is your understanding?
Well, some were and some aspects kind of went along with standing committees because they were never publicly abolished. What we did for example, on 10/5/2025, we committed to have only at this point seize any committees that were that had challenges. Where there wasn't a very distinctive end planned. There wasn't any obviously ad hoc committees don't have to have the public involved. We just talk about results and give reports like the fireworks committee. But so we had promised at some point that we would abolish those, and it took us a while to actually have to come up and say, okay, let's just make sure that nobody thinks that we have those committees. Let's abolish those and then create the two that we needed at the moment. Now, if you feel that we need more, that there's some need out there, specific need for which you need to create an ad hoc, make a suggestion and we'll do it. I would say we can look at an old list and go from that old list and say, is there still a need?
Very good suggestion. Do we have that list available?
Sure, we can find it. And I just wanted to address kind of a point because Alicia brought this up in the public comment, and I want to just make sure everything's clear about the motivation behind abolishing the standing committees. We did get some legal advice on this, and and like I mentioned in the email to you, Alicia, and as also was expressed in the resolution that was passed. In abolishing the standing committees, all of the subject matters that were covered by the standing committees are now intended to be addressed by the full board. And so that achieves two improvements. Number one, those subject matters will be obviously discussed by more participants, and that is a reflection of the gravity and the seriousness of some of the issues that we're facing, like the financial restructuring, the debt restructuring, those types of matters. And so a lot of those issues have now been moved to Sandy's agenda items, where she gives a report on several different financial aspects of the harbor, and then the entire board can hear her report, deliberate on it. And so that's in our regular Wednesday, semi-monthly meetings. And so that is better attended by the public than if we were to have a standing committee that is hasn't been at a regular schedule or intermittent schedule.
Being more transparent.
Yeah, that's the idea, is that we're not, I think maybe some people in the public thought we were going to eliminate all standing committees and then take all those committees and reform all of them as ad hoc committees and replace all of them with ad hoc in an effort to circumvent transparency. And that's not what we're doing. We haven't done that. We have no intention of doing that. The idea is for everything to be addressed by the entire board, the majority of it, and in a few limited instances, like Commissioner Weber mentioned, for the fireworks or for the audit, a very limited purpose, limited scope and time, that is appropriate for an ad hoc committee. And you know, we have had multiple rounds of legal advice on this. We don't believe that there's any Brown Act violation in what's been done. And so certainly, if there is that misconception, I just hope that clears things up.
I think we have two committees in existence now, Budget and Audit Committee, which is, I guess, Rick and John, is that correct?
No, that's Gerhardt and John.
Okay. And then Mr. Weber is also, I guess, the sole member of the 4th of July Committee. But we've heard some input from the public, Cindy, Mike, and I think Alicia, on the 4th of July event. It seems logical for the committee to meet with those persons and reconcile the differences and come up with a solution that can be presented to the entire commission here for approval.
And this is exactly what it did during the last meeting when I gave my report from the previous meeting. At this point, they're also told the board that there will be another meeting on March 26th at 11 a.m. tomorrow, and where we will then go back, and then I will then let that ad hoc group know what we have decided as a harbor, that we are basically going along with what we did last year. There's a minor instances where we are changing the structure for the parking, and we're using that money to increase the number of porta potties. This is what we have been discussing, and so yeah, this is what I'm going back with.
Another point, Mr. Shepherd, is that I think all committees, ad hoc, standing committee, all, I think, are within your enumerated powers,
right,
to appoint and change membership, presumably. I'm not sure about changing membership, as we've heard, but certainly appointing members. And therefore, I think to establish or support the notion of limited time, I think all committees, ad hoc or standing, should have a drop dead date of perhaps a first meeting in January when the commission as a whole, following an election, selects a new chairman or reinstalls the existing chairman who has that power, and give him a clean slate so he can pick which ones he wants, having been chosen as chairman. So we have a drop dead date on all committees, and we have an opportunity for the newly selected chairman to pick his own committee member. In the first meeting of January.
That'd be a great, all committees would end January 1st of 2027.
Well, in some cases, we don't need the January 1st. We have done a lot earlier. So it would make sense to have those ad hoc committees online. Just put up the purpose and the deadline for it, and that would fulfill whatever is needed for ad hocs. And everybody would know what's going on behind the scenes. So if anybody has a question about a certain ad hoc that I'm involved in, they know exactly that they would be talking to me, or they would be talking to John or you or anybody else.
Yeah, that's my only concern. I mean, I always obsess when people tell us we're not being transparent, and if we aren't, it's because I don't know we're not being transparent. Yeah, well, just a second. I'll get the public comment on the. We're still discussing it amongst the board.
I think we actually have the committee assignments on the website. I'm not sure where it is. Where is it?
Yeah.
Well, they're looking for it, Alicia. You can make your public comment.
Yeah,
yes.
So
this answers your question, Commissioner Schmidt, of what the existing lanes were prior to being abolished. So we could, you know,
print that out.
Yeah, this is on, I'll send it to you in an email, but it's on the website. Yeah.
So,
and are we taking that up tomorrow at 10 o'clock? Is that what you said?
11. I'm going to be there at 11.
For a firework on 4th of July.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And then he's going to report back to us.
And can you invite Mike Barr and Cindy, and I think Roger had some firework comments. Whoever had them here ought to be able to at least observe that committee. No?
No.
Is it legal?
It's not open to the public.
I see. Okay, very well.
So, like, the reason, this is Alicia again, so the reason that there was, that it came across with a bunch of confusion is because of the way that it was discussed, and it wasn't clearly, like, there was a lot of discussion, but then there wasn't clarity around what you guys were doing and why, and I still don't have clarity around how you guys are saying that the budget and audit are temporary. So which budget and audit, I guess, are you talking about?
The 225 budget, audit.
So, and that needs to be submitted by a certain date, so it's going to end after it's submitted?
Yes.
Is that what you're saying? So the budget audit is one, is basically one process, and that's going to end when, or needs, it has a deadline of what?
Well, I know Sandy's working really diligently to get that completed. Is she's hoping to have it done? Well, she's hoping to have it done at the end of this week.
No, no,
April.
No.
I mean, excuse me, April. I mean, at least her work, which, you know, we'll probably come back to the ad hoc committee for some additional discussion. So probably within, you know, a matter of weeks, maybe a month at the most, because then once Sandy completes her work, she submits it to our auditor. Our auditor, you know, obviously has to evaluate it, write up their own report, then we'll come back to the ad hoc. There'll be some, there'll be a little bit back and forth, but... yeah, I mean, that's going
to
be...
So will the ad hoc then be coming to the board and in public meeting to report out with a status?
Definitely.
And you guys are... So as an ad hoc, you're basically just supporting the activities of Sandy, is what you're saying. It's like for additional, who's assigned to help with that process?
Yeah, I mean, Commissioner Weber has a lot of expertise in accounting.
So that's what this is about. And yeah. Then the other one, the 4th of July, that I totally get, because that is a limited scope. Yeah. Okay, that makes sense. And then the other reason why is because we had CSS suggesting and kind of priming for subcommittees to be established specifically for the upcoming infrastructure project, which is multi-year project. And then right after he made his spiel, Kevin Hendrick, which is his apparently director, but it doesn't say on his website, but he's on his board, and that has been mentioned before, I don't remember when, had distinctly asked you guys to consider the benefit of creating an ad hoc because you don't have to adhere to the Brown Act. So those are red flags around transparency. And I have it printed out.
Yeah,
it was about an hour and 53, 55 minutes into the meeting. So you can't gaslight me on this one. And that's a major red flag. And then I also want to tell you another red flag. And Gitlin reported this on October 13th, 2022, on Crescent City Times, that in 2013, Kevin Hendrick was found responsible for $25,000 of missing funds at Del Norte Solid Waste Management Authority and was fired because of it. So there are a lot of things that are red flags.
That's your
and
time.
When you have
that's
someone,
going way too far back. And
I'm
just,
telling you that there are
transparency. Under that, by we decided if making you, a standing committee for the rich construction, because that could be going on for several years.
Yes, thank you.
You know, I just love being misquoted. What I said was $25,000 went missing under the solid waste management under the authority of the director, Kevin Hendrick. He didn't get fired. He stepped down with a very generous package. Retirement package, just to get the record straight. Now, be quiet. People like that stir the pot and it goes nowhere. Now, I want to bring up what an ad hoc committee is supposed to do. I've sat on ad hoc committees with two people and they disagree. and they don't say anything to each other other than I disagree with you or you disagree with me. Their role is to report back to you what they disagree on. It's not to vote. Ad hoc committees, it's to get information. I sat on ad hoc committees when I was on the Board of Supervisors. They wanted to do nothing. I wanted to do something else. We reported back. We had a disagreement, and then the board voted. These guys, four or five of you, whether you're on an ad hoc, you have the ultimate vote. You don't do it in an ad hoc committee. It's information only.
Thank you. Right.
Thank you.
Thank you for the clarification. Very much.
Just a couple of things. When you form an ad hoc committee in December and it goes till, say, February, but you established in your resolution that ad hoc committees are terminated for the new board chair to come in, how does all that work? And two, since the chair, whoever is the chair at the time, is the one that establishes the members on the ad hoc committee, why is there a need for a January 1st cutoff? Because if you as the chair before January 1st have two people on the committee and the chair after January 1st comes in and decides that one of the members doesn't...
isn't even here.
Well, it isn't suitable or isn't here or whatever, the new chairman can establish new membership. So what's the point in...
I got you there. I understand that because that the chairman has the right to
appoint
remove and add different people on the ad hoc committee.
Correct.
You wouldn't have to have that ending date January 1. So point well taken. I don't see somebody myself appointing an ad hoc committee in December that close to the deal. But anyways, point well taken. And that's very true.
And the other thing is about your January the 4th submission. So because the Chamber of Commerce is having events, the harbor can't have anything. There are thousands of people here.
Yeah, we're just trying to work together with them, and I think we'll work through that. Thank you very much. That's a different thing, but thank you, Sam.
Appreciate it.
Consider formation of new ad hoc committees. Did we want to form one for the RV park from yesterday's meeting, or we were going to wait? I think I want to say I'd like to wait because with two members being missing, John called me before the meeting and said he would be on that meeting if we needed him. And I told him, I said, I think we'll just kind of hold off until everybody's in attendance and that we can, we'll formulate that up. Anyway, that was a very good discussion on ad hoc committees. Thank you, Alicia, for enlightening us on the things you did, and Roger and Sam, appreciated. So, and Dan, very good points you made. So, we're going to move forward to consider a special rate for slip A1. I'm going to table this until we have the full committee here, and I think it can be worked out with staff. I'll talk to staff about it, and Mike can, and if they have a discrepancy of what it is, then they can bring it back to the next meeting or something. But for today, I think we'll move that to the next meeting. So that will have a CEO Harbor Master report for a public meeting. Measure. Skip the page. Yeah, okay. Trying to get done too quick. Hey, Dan.
Yes, sir. Well, don't want to repeat a lot of what Roger said earlier, but I think we are at the point, if we are able to come here to the next meeting and go up or down on each of the two proposals to the harbor.
Three.
Plus the third one, which is us doing it ourselves.
Yes.
Yeah. And actually that breaks down into two. Us doing ourselves continuously or for a temporary period, because we may want to do it for a year and then it's okay. Now it's available for someone else to step in. That's a thought. Okay. I have a number of reasons why I think the RFP process didn't work, but we're almost at the end of it. So why go into all my great day?
Most of us.
So other than that, I don't really have much to add. Thank you.
Right.
I had a quick meeting with the finance group, and we went over the budget. We decided that the audit was at the moment wasn't ready yet because we wanted to have the numbers for the third quarter in. It wouldn't make a lot of sense to even discuss it that way. So we went through all the issues with the budget, and if it wouldn't be for some debt, we did pretty well. But since I relied on our finance person to do the details, to talk about details, so I'm at the moment I'm not ready to discuss the details. I can read numbers off, but that's all there is.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, and I the meeting we had yesterday was enlightening to me, and I think it was the first time we've heard from the people that we hired, the attorney Weiss and the consultant Dan from Calmuni, and gave us some numbers that we can really work towards on these RV parks, and I can see that bringing it to an end a lot quicker with that, with the advice and the numbers that they gave us. So, and with that, I don't have anything more to report. So, okay. So I've been working with the Army Corps of Engineers on emergency dredging following the tsunami, and I'm really happy to report that we were able to make the case. We were originally scheduling it for fiscal year 2028, and we were able to give enough evidence, and we got some feedback from the community. We were able to go to their leadership, and they moved it up to FY 2027. So hopefully we'll get the federal channel dredged and address some of the sediment deposition that occurred a little bit earlier. And they have approved our request, you know, for emergency dredging funding through the Army Corps leadership. And then we still have to get some of the permitting, but that's something that the Army Corps will pay for. So I think that's really good news for dredging. Worth it just for the federal channel. So we're still working on the rest of the harbor as well. As you may have seen some of the earlier meetings, one of the things that CSS is working on is a grant to get some money for a pilot project to do some dredging throughout the rest of the harbor. So obviously it's quite expensive. And we could also potentially get some funding through the California Disaster Assistance Act or other areas in the harbor. The other thing is that we had the utility tariff analysis. It was done by Advanced Recovery Services. They looked at all of our electricity bills and other utilities to see if there was anything that was being improperly billed that we could realize some savings. And I guess it's, you know, depending on how you want to look at it, it's good news that they didn't find anything that was wrong. So we haven't been overpaying, you know, historically, but we're not going to be able to lower our bills. So anyway, they did a comprehensive analysis, and essentially we're paying everything that we should be paying. So everything is proper. Yeah.
Mike, some time ago, perhaps 6 months ago, the commission voted to give some private company, perhaps in Oregon or some other place, the right to go after unreimbursed money from Pacific Power.
That's what he's talking about.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Did we get any money from him?
He's just saying that they found everything was pretty much up and up.
Yeah.
They didn't find where we were overcharged. And if we were being overcharged, then they could go back on it. We were going to get a percent of what they found. And it's basically, this is the first time I've heard this report also, Dan, that it sounds like they didn't find anything.
So all of these California-specific rebates that we were hoping for.
Yeah, and I just want to point out that they had a really strong economic incentive to find something, because they would be able to recover 40% of whatever overbilling had occurred looking back, you know, and then anything forward, we would get 100%, you know, of the realized savings. So they had a strong incentive to try and find something, and they looked at, you know, a number of utilities, you know, electrical, they looked at telephone service, cable, and all kinds of, you know, any kind of utility that we had,
Well, they investigated that, and they have very specific expertise with California. And also, even they have some clients there, because we're kind of unique, obviously. Pacific Power is Oregon, you know, come to Oregon, but we're in California, so there's a lot of, you know, interesting regulatory overlap issues there. And they have expertise in that. Yeah, unique situation. So, yeah, I guess it's good. We haven't been overpaying, but we were hoping maybe we could realize some additional savings, but it is what it is. Also, we had a inspection from Cal OSHA, and everything was good. We had to update one of our basically like disaster plans, or I can't remember what it was called, like emergency response plan or something. If this is not the one that we've also been working on, sort of the larger harbor emergency response, but specific to some Cal OSHA issues. But they did an on-site inspection, and everything was
we passed.
Good. Yeah.
Well, that's really something. They're pretty picky usually. It's,
yeah.
To pass that one's a good one. Big.
Yeah. The other thing I wanted to just get some approval from the board is, you know, one of the prior meetings we presented the Trump administration's maritime action plan, and you know, through some contacts that we have, we believe we can set up a meeting with Jamison Greer, who's the United States Trade Representative. He was reports directly to President Trump, and he's already met with one of the Board of Supervisors members. And I think it would be useful, you know, obviously the harbor needs every penny it can find. And I'm willing to, at my own expense, pay for my travel to go to DC and meet with Jamison Greer and talk about their initiative, the Maritime Action Plan, talk about our boatyard, you know, which is currently vacant. And we is in serious need of finding a new tenant. You know, we kind of lost out to a prospective tenant due to some tax incentives that were available in other states. And so it seems like if we have the right incentive structure, perhaps on the federal level, we could attract a new tenant in there. And then we can address the needs of our commercial fishing fleet, have their boats hauled out and maintained. And it would bring in a new revenue source. So if the board approves of sending me, and if any other commissioners are interested in going, I welcome that. But I do that at my own expense. I think it would be worthwhile. It's not often that we have contact who can get us that close to the president to have an audience. And you know, we have this $15 million from the Maritime Administration, and I think this initiative kind of goes hand in hand. It would work together to make sure that those goals are achieved in terms of making this harbor more resilient. So there's already a big federal interest, and if we can augment that, I think that would be useful. Yeah.
It's my understanding that this action plan, NAP, has two goals. And my understanding is that one of the goals is to expand shipbuilding or boat building capacity of our country.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the other one is to create a maritime academy for the training of future boat personnel. Either one of these things, I think we need to have a fairly comprehensive, detail-oriented, well-thought-out proposal. This is what the Crescent City Harbor can do with respect to boat building and maintenance. Not just float after we have a vacant boatyard. We have to say we can handle boats up to 65 feet, you know, 200 tons or whatever it is. And we have these cranes and equipment. It's got to just be more than a show up and hope we can pop ourselves into some money. And with the academy, I think that's I think we need that. I think we ought to give our fishing fleet captains and boat owners, as well as the crews, an opportunity locally to upgrade their skills. That may mean simply something as simple as making this very room available on a temporary basis as a classroom, so that qualified instructor can give half-day-long seminars on pollution control or whatever else it is that we have to know about. So I think we need, before we go to Washington and meet with Mr. Greer, we ought to really have in mind what it is we offer and why we are deserving of financial consideration.
Yeah, I think something like this is going to require a very comprehensive, you know, amount of preparation, and perhaps an ad hoc committee or something. You know, the board wants to provide further direction and input. And just to clarify, the Trump administration's Maritime Action Plan, it's more than just the two initiatives that you identified. Those were just two that, as I looked at some of our local priorities and, you know, what lined up with this national plan, those were two things that I thought would serve us well if we could get some support. And but I think the discussion in DC will be broader in scope than just those two. But yeah, I mean, if you have a particular interest, Commissioner Schmidt, I would love to sit down with you and, you know, prior to making this trip. I think a tremendous amount of effort will have to go into preparing that, having a formal proposal, probably some correspondence in advance of the meeting, to kind of brief them on what, you know, what we hope to achieve. It's a very significant, potentially very significant meeting. I think
the more we know what they want, what are they looking for? What do they want to spend their money on or provide their assistance to? Once we know all what the customer wants, we can then say, we have the capacity to deliver on 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, or whatever it is. Sell ourselves, our ability and our willingness. You know, we've got the grant money coming in, the structural improvements happening. That could be very well be woven into what it is that we are capable of doing and can modify if necessary to accommodate the action plan's interests. Thank you.
I think that's what we talked about yesterday, was with the rebuilding of the harbor, that it could, you know, help with that meeting. I know I'm really stressing that we get the RV parks and the audit done. And so what's the time frame of you maybe going to have this meeting? That's the only thing I didn't ask yesterday. I mean, yeah. So you talked about it, but we talking about a month from now? Yeah, perhaps. I mean, I think it'd obviously be dependent on Mr. Greer's schedule and his availability. But it's not going to be next week or probably the week after, because, yeah, we have the RV park negotiations. We have the audit. We have some near-term priorities that have to be addressed.
We're short-staffed all the way around.
Yeah.
And so we need to get some certain things done. And that's why we've been not doing a lot of things, because of the fact that I prioritized a few things that we really have to get done. And that's why I show so much frustration with the RV park and getting the audit done. So I just recommend that we discuss it, keep the discussion on, get the plan implemented. But I don't want to take too much time away from you from the negotiations.
Yeah.
And Sandy away from the audit, because it always ends up when we put more things on our plate, then Sandy gets overwhelmed, Christina gets overwhelmed, and then we don't get anything done. And that's what I've saw since, you know, in the last 6 months or so. And so I really want to make sure we get the things done first, and then we'll move on with that. And I think it's a great idea, and I look forward to that meeting.
No. I just want to make sure that we clarify this. I'm a little bit surprised that you brought up the meeting, and I think it's more your desire to show that you're willing to step beyond what you do here in the harbor, that you're looking at every opportunity that there may be. But let's make it clear. We don't have a commitment that anybody in Washington will meet with you. We don't have a date and time. We don't have a clear meeting component of what you're gonna meet about. So I think what you were just trying to do is show the public that you're willing to reach out to whoever is willing to listen, and that you have seen that we have, that we know somebody who has a family connection to somebody who is super, super close to our president, and we're going to go good extra mile and you're willing to spend your own money. So let's just clarify that. So there's nothing set up as of right now.
Yeah, it's possible that he may say he's not available. We're just hopeful. Now, I just wanted, before that I make that outreach, I wanted to know that I had the support of the board to spend my time on that, you know.
Yeah, we're our support as long as you get the other things done.
Yeah.
Once you get them done, you'll get our support. But those RV parks got to get done.
I hear you.
I'm adamant.
Yeah, I mean, we've got... You know, we've got a whole team of people working on it.
I know, and I don't want to go in a bunch of different directions until those are done, and then I really feel we can move on as a harbor. But until those RV parks get done and the audit gets done, we cannot move forward any longer. So there's no public comment on the reports. You know, the meeting is almost over, so we can address your issues after the meeting.
I did have a request to clear the record because I was defamed and told to be a liar on page 5.
Yeah,
no, please stop.
No, you can't do this. So
I'm handing this to Git.
No, you're not handing me anything. Sit up and shut up.
There you go.
But you just can't consider it of the other people
in
this room.
Not me. I'm not the one
to do this. Why you never get out of meetings is because of idiots like this.
Okay, we're gonna.
Not me.
With that, you done it right, Mike?
That's Roger Gitlin's error.
Okay, all right, done with that report, and we'll go on to communication reports and direction with Sandy's. Not here, you know.
There's a couple things I could talk about.
Okay, the repair of the vehicle plate reduction.
Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, unfortunately, Miss Marie is extremely ill.
And, hold on, Mike. Yeah. Hey, Alicia, you don't talk to this lady like that. I'm asking you. This is our staff.
No. Hendrick is what I'm telling her, and he's accusing me.
Oh, it's hearsay.
So you don't want to do that.
Do not, do not do this. Do not do this. Do not talk to that lady like that. Christina is our staff. Look at her. You've got her upset, and I will not have that in this room. Do you understand that? You will not upset our staff.
She's not. She's just sitting there.
Forget it. Just knock it off. I will not have that.
Good. Christina, if you need to excuse yourself.
Go ahead. Thank you very much, Christina, for everything you do.
So, unfortunately, Ms. Moreno is extremely ill, and she is not even able to participate via Zoom. There's a couple time-sensitive issues I wanted to bring to the board's attention. One of them has to do with our vehicle fleet. We have been evaluating this to see if we can realize some cost savings. We're going to eliminate one of the GMT Sierra trucks from the vehicle fleet. And another one of the vehicles, there's a balloon payment that's coming up that would be $9,000. And with the board's approval by consensus, it's our intention to just refinance that over a couple of years so that we get the payment down to about $450 a month. Currently, it's a little bit over $900. And then we can avoid that balloon payment. So that's, if everyone, I think.
So do we need a motion to approve the
I think
restructuring of that we owe that 9,000 even if we give the truck back?
Well, that particular truck, talking to the maintenance staff, they want to keep that one. One of the other ones that's coming up.
I know we're going to release one.
Yeah. So this one, we actually, it seems like there is a operational need to keep that. And so if we don't do the refinancing, we have to pay $9,000, and the balloon payment. Obviously, cash flow is one of the primary difficulties with our finances right now. So it seems like
we should bring that back to the next meeting for a vote, or can we make a motion today? It's on the agenda.
I think just by consensus, as long as there's no opposition to it, we can just proceed that way.
Consensus as to what, refi?
We have a $9,000 payment that we want to stretch out over a period of time to $450 approximately per month. And I don't think there's any other thing to say, but yes, because I don't think we have a $9,000.
Well, an earlier discussion on this where some talk about declaring something surplus. Is that off the table?
That's why I just asked. The one truck's going to leave.
Yes. So we have some older trucks that we own outright. That there's one of them that we're looking at surplusing. It's not worth, it's probably only worth $1,000 or $2,000. So, you know, it's not really a huge benefit. You know, I did talk to Billy, our maintenance foreman. I'm not sure that we're going to surplus it because it's such a low, I mean, like we have people that can keep it going. And, you know, it's just, there's not much, there's not, what's it?
It needs a lot of work.
Yeah. I mean, we're still evaluating it, but I think that's what you're talking about. The trucks that we're discussing right now are newer vehicles that we're currently leasing. And so if we want to keep this one that has the balloon payment, then we have to put up the $9,000, which we don't have in the budget. And it's just this, I really recommend that we don't do that.
I think your proposal to refi the balance, spread the balloon payment over a period of years to bring from 900 down to 450 makes sense. Assuming that we're getting $450 a month worth of utility value out of that vehicle.
Yeah.
If not, let it go.
We're
getting a value.
Right. And that's what I'm trying to say with this sort of report to the board is that we have analyzed the vehicle fleet. We've identified one vehicle we know for sure we can get rid of without too much of an operational impact. This particular vehicle that I'm thinking of as a balloon payment, we decided we need to keep that one. So I just wanted to
answer. The maintenance needs that I've done something we need. And one of the other things that we brought up in the past, so I guess you're okay with them stretching the payment over.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So we all agreed on that. Is that I think, you know, again, I want to get RV parks done and I want to get the audit done. But we really need to start looking at used vehicles. I know Ann's really been big on that. So maybe we can, instead of leasing, if we get some good deals on some used vehicles, maybe in an auction or something.
Yeah,
we're talking about vehicles. I think we need to look into that. We'll free up the time that we have. So.
Yeah. Let's see.
Update on grant billing.
I think some of these other things I'll defer to Sandy at the next meeting. We do have a meeting with the USDA this Friday. So that'll be, I think, really interesting to see kind of progress you make with them. On this HEPA request, you know, I really, I feel like Sandy has been so busy with the audit and everything else that I feel like needs to be kind of reassigned so that at least we can have more responsive initial requests. And so it's my intention to talk to Matt, who is one of our newer admin staff people. He also does some work with Harbor Patrol. And I'd like him to start giving the initial responses to the CEPA request, because I think that's an area that we could improve on. I mean, obviously we have a very, very limited staff. And, you know, we take these requests and put them into the queue and we respond to them in order. But I think that's one operational change that I intend to make. I think that's all I really have for this section of the agenda.
You talked here about Matt taking those responsibilities. I think it'd be a good idea to expand him into doing that. He has some complications. Of course, he would revert back to staff on those. But we're having a real difficult time with this CEPA request. I know that with everything we got going on. Okay, then that's it with that. And so we're going to adjourn the meeting until April 8th on 2 o'clock. We'll be here.